This episode is a two-part episode. If you enjoyed part one, please come back next week, Wednesday morning, for part two. I really was getting the hang of shop.
Yeah,
really.
You were killing it.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere, too.
Every time, I was like, all right, Sully got a better mark. I'm like, all right, Sully gets a PR bar. Right? Sully gets another PR bar. I'm like, damn.
I'll do anything with like PR bars, man. The Hershey chocolate bars. Yeah, Hershey chocolate. I'm a big boy. I like that stuff. But yeah, I remember, that's when it really started. So I thought, okay, let's continue the career. Mm-hmm. You know, let's continue throwing.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch, veteran-owned coffee roasting business in Anvil, PA. Roasted to order every week, we specialize in donations and fundraising and other community involvements. Find out more at CleonaCoffee.com. Coffee started us, community keeps us.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@ModernGentCustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners, homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Only on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And then the other one is actually another one that's actually like coming out, and it's supposed to be soon.
Wait, hold on. So you're doing music right now? On the side.
Yeah, on top the side, yeah.
On top of everything else you got.
In between being a dad.
I'm on SoundCloud right now. Yeah, seriously. What's Mike Robinson?
So it's not it should be THEE Robin.
Ooh.
You like it, whatever.
There you are. I got you.
Yeah, there it is.
Let's go.
Yeah. So, well, I have another one, but it's supposed to be coming out. And then this new one is supposed to be dropping on all platforms.
Okay. Let's go. Yeah. That's exciting.
It's been one of those things. Like, it was almost like cutting hair. It wasn't always obviously, like, you've known me. Like, even when freshman year, like, I was just cutting hair in the bathroom.
You were always cutting hair. You were cutting hair in our room.
So, like, it was one of those. But then after a while, like, it branched off. And once I started teaching, I got bored teaching. Nah, let's just start the podcast.
All right. Let's start it here. Let's take a quick cheers, and we'll...
Cheers, baby.
We'll start this. Cheers, brother.
Mike and Sully.
Mm-hmm. OG Mike and Sully.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. So first question I'm going to ask you is just like a total left field question, but
yeah.
I like to start it off. What are you most thankful for?
What am I most thankful for?
Yes, sir.
You would ask me this question 4 years ago. I would have probably said I'm most thankful for just realistically just being alive. Family. Just... I didn't really think about it. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, before 4 years ago, I never really thought about being thankful. It was more of just a driven mindset, like getting things done when they need to get done and having a goal in mind. But now, once you start making more money and you realize that it's going to come no matter what, I think, honestly, to be thankful is, like, my whole family. And that's from my nuclear family to extended family to everything. Everyone plays an integral part, but I would definitely say family. That is 100% most thing I'm thankful for.
Family over everything.
Over everything.
Yeah.
And that includes friends, because friends are your family that you choose. I heard that a couple years ago, and that is...
So true, right?
That's very true.
So true.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. So for the listeners that might not know... This silky smooth voice across from me here is my roommate. So, in this episode, we have someone who's really been a part of my life long before microphones and any of this. Today, I'm sitting down with my former college roommate and good friend, Mike Robinson. Mike is a barber, entrepreneur, and someone who truly built something from the ground up with skill, passion, and consistency. In this episode, we're going to cover a lot. We're going to talk about what it really looks like to learn a skill and turn it into a business, why community can beat marketing every time, and how to reinvent yourself without starting over from scratch. Mike, man, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you are here. It's been, like you said, it's been a long time coming.
A very long time coming. Yeah, I think we had talked about this, back in like 20, it was midst of the pandemic, like 2021?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
It probably was about there, yeah. Because I was just planning on starting it back then. That was the early days, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it was like you, Coach Bear, and like maybe one or two other people for like episode one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Coach Bear, you know, had to do it.
One. How could you not?
Yeah. Oh, what a legend, right? Coach Bear is an awesome guy.
Yeah, right there. That's a staple.
100%.
You know, I haven't been beat too many times in life, but I'm all right being beat by him.
Yeah. He is one that very few, I think, can beat. Just his work ethic and consistency. So shout out to Coach Bear if you're listening. One of the greatest to ever do it, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Always.
So before we dive in, let's give the listeners a little bit of background about how we first met, you know, Mike and Sully. What was, you know, college life like and all that good stuff back then? But how do you, like, when we first met, what do you recall? What do you remember?
Man, when we first met.
Do you want to know what I remember?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you.
Let me hear what you first remember.
Pretty sure it was football, maybe freshman year. And the rumor was going around, we're getting some hotshot wide receiver from McCaskey, I think it was. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. We need some speed. So let's see what we got. Sure enough, it was Mike. From there, I remember being football the first time I met you. Mm-hmm. And then track. We did track.
I wasn't the best receiver we had.
I dropped the pass.
Yeah. One pass.
Yeah.
And then I dropped another pass, and then I didn't see the ball the rest of the season. But there was one game at the very end of the season. It was against Manheim Township. We were losing. And what was it? Coach had called me and Chris Coleman on opposite sides.
Yeah.
And our quarterback, Evan Ditzler, RIP baby.
Yeah.
He was a robot. So wherever coach told him to throw, he was throwing it. It didn't matter if there was double or triple coverage, he was throwing it. And coach lined us up on the wrong side. He called my number. And I looked and I was like, I know he's throwing it this way. I was like, I know for a fact he's throwing it. So I went on a streak route. And that was it. Went 40 yards up the field. Evan tossed the ball. I saw it. I caught it. And I did not score. The kid dragged onto my ankles. And I could not shake him.
Yeah.
So, ended up catching it. We went over, and I think Jose ran it in for a touchdown right after that. And that guy was like
he was a beast.
That was a juggernaut right there.
Yeah, he was back in the day. Jose.
But he ran in and scored. But you know,
those were the days, man.
Yeah, those were the days. We went undefeated.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was like what, 2008, 2000.
Seven.
It was a lot of fun back then. Yep. But that's the first like experience I remember meeting you. I was like, oh boy, man, we're gonna get somebody tall and fast. Here we go. And that's right. Yeah, you couldn't really catch the ball.
Nah.
Not that I could. I was on the O line. You know, obviously, I wasn't catching no balls, man. Put me on the O line. But then track and field. That's where it really like took off, I think.
So. If I'm completely transparent, I definitely try to be as much as possible because, I mean, it doesn't pay anybody to lie. I went through at least that portion of high school. I wasn't very open. I had more of like a point A, point B mindset. So I neglected a lot of friendships. Now, I don't know if that was from growing up. My relationships that I had built, I was always moving around like every 6 months with my mom. It wasn't until I moved with my dad that I had more of a stable household. So developing friendships and connecting with people it wasn't very prominent in my life. So to be honest, as shitty as this may sound, I didn't notice you until senior year.
Well, that's probably right.
Like you were like quiet and like out of the way. Like obviously you were one of the tallest people in the room. I was like look around, but to be honest, like I didn't notice you until senior year, and then it was like I feel like just being a senior and like we built like a connection that way, just like that was in my mind, like that's when I started connecting. And then once I found out that we were even going to go to college and we were going to be roommates together, I was like, oh hell yeah, like, yeah, it's perfect,
no brainer.
I don't want to say like most of the relationships I built, I guess, in high school were like baseless, but if you make it this far, I guess, what, we're 33 now.
Yeah, 34. Right here. Yeah.
Yeah, but so I'll like, take it. Yeah. If you make it this far in life and like you still have some of those connections, at least in my world, it actually means something. Because yeah, there's multiple people that have come in and out of my life. And then the fact that I always tell people, I was like, if you've made it this far in my life, I was like, you definitely mean something. So, what, we graduated 14 years ago?
Yeah, that's a while. That's a long time. Feels like yesterday though.
Yeah,
and I think you know when it comes to track and field, like at Cedar Crest, our senior group was so tight across the board.
Oh yeah,
you know, you had yourself, we had Drahoski, we had Matt Dyscher, Galley,
Coleman,
yeah,
Lacardi.
That's right. Just freak athletes, you know, and we were just a real close group. And yeah, we really did some awesome things back then.
We lost two meets that year?
I think we did, yeah.
Hanfield and McCaskey?
Yes, those are they're always two tough ones, though. Yeah, you know? always two tough ones. And I remember that track season, I think even prior, but especially senior year, from the east to the west.
Cedar Crest is the best.
From the north to the south.
We run this house.
Let's go. Yeah. I'm telling you, Mike. Yeah.
I remember when we did that on freshman year.
Okay.
When we were on the bus.
Remind me.
And I started it. I started yelling it from the east to the west. And that was like, I just felt like we were on top of the world at that point.
Yeah.
I remember at one point we even challenged like the varsity team. So like,
that's right. Yeah, we were cocky. We were a little cocky. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have loved to get that started during a pep rally.
That'd be fire.
Oh my God. Yeah. Could you imagine getting us started doing a pep rally?
Yeah.
Have the whole school yelling it?
Yeah.
I wanted that to be the alma mater, to be honest.
That would be great. Yeah. That might be a little tough to
if that could have took over as the alma mater, that would have been great. But yeah, I think, I don't know, if I ever get back into coaching,
yeah,
that would definitely be one of the things I might incorporate.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, that was our rally cry, mm-hmm, man. That was like, yeah. I just always remember that.
Gosh.
And Coach Bear saying, these are the days, you know, champions are made. It's freezing cold. It might be snowing or raining. We still went out there and practiced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
So, yeah. I mean, that's a little background about how you and I met. And then from there, like you said, Kutztown.
Yeah.
You know, I went for, like, graphic arts because I thought I could be a designer. Man, was I fucking wrong.
Yeah. Sitting on legacy out here.
Yeah, family business.
College.
Right. Well, and, you know, like we talked off air, I feel like in high school, at least back in 2011, like it was pushed a lot. You know, hey, you got to go to the four-year school.
College. Didn't matter what.
Yeah.
Shit, I would have went to CTC, but it was almost seen like if you went to CTC, like you were always deemed as stupid.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's like, damn. I was like, all
right.
Well, I guess I'm not going to CTC.
Well, probably some of the smartest kids, you know, because get right into the workforce, start making money.
And then it also played in the fact that, like, I was good at athletics. So everyone's like, oh, well, you're going to go to college, right? You're D1. And I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, deep down, I just wanted to cut hair.
There you go, right, yeah, and you found your passion. Yep. But, yeah, at the time, it was like a lot of different voices, right, influences. Yeah. Saying you got to go four-year
college. Especially my dad.
Yeah?
Being in the military, my dad was not.
I don't know if I knew that. He was in the military.
Yeah, my dad was in the Army.
Okay.
He carried a lot of his Army traits into regular life, which, I mean, helped me create more discipline, and I think that's why I stuck with sports. It just helps with structure and discipline. I think all kids should do sports, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
Doesn't matter what.
Yeah. Find something you like doing.
Yeah.
Whether it's tennis, track, football, basketball, baseball,
hell,
softball.
You can even be in a band. Just have some type of structure.
Get out there with a community, right? It's a community
of
like-minded individuals. And,
yep,
you know, whether it's playing a trumpet or trombone or whatever, throwing a shot put. Like,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's how I feel.
I don't know if I knew that your dad was in the Army.
No, yeah, my dad was in the Army. I don't remember how many years active duty, but he was definitely a National Guard for as long as I can remember. I mean, damn, he was He was damn near old man when he retired. But yeah, it was a strict regimen. He was nice, but at the same time, like, there was a certain level of, like, an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I always started, I think, right around junior, senior year, I started taking pride in my last name. So, like, Robinson. So it was like, who am I? And I'm like, I'm Mike Robinson. And it was like, that's something to be serious. Like, I wanted, something clicked. I don't know what it was. Something clicked around that time. But when it was hitting a certain point, I realized, I was like, I'm Mike Robinson. Like, this is, when I walk around and someone says Mike Robinson, I'm like, oh yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
Whether it's the fastest person you've ever met, or he's a great guy, that's always one of those things. But yeah, my dad definitely instilled being the best I can be at anything possible.
Yeah.
Anything I choose to do, being the best.
Put your mind to it and be the best you can be. So, you know, like I said, I went to Kutztown for graphic arts. What was your mindset going off to Kutztown freshman year? Yeah, what was your mindset? Obviously, before that, we both did track, right? I was I was there for throwing and got in the best shape of my life. Damn, I missed that. But we'll get back there. But
yeah, we gotta get back there.
Yeah, we gotta get back there.
Get back there.
But yeah. So what was your mindset? You know, what were you going for?
Oh man, did you know? Like, I was undecided.
No, I thought it was always teaching.
Nah. So my dad asked me about 2 months before we graduated to start the track season. It was like, it might have been a little bit later, but
yeah,
I didn't have a school that I was going to. And I had never gone to CTC, but remember our eighth grade class, careers?
Yeah.
My project was being a barber.
Oh, well, right there, dude.
That was my career. Why, and when we took the career aptitude test and everything, I wanted to be a barber.
Yeah.
And a little bit of background for everybody. My first time in a barbershop, well, going back a little bit further, I remember sitting on the toilet, and my dad used to give me haircuts, and he would give me haircuts, and I don't know if he liked it or not, but he would always give us a haircut, and I always found that, like, bonding time. One time he did cut my ear, I remember that, and I was, like, maybe 4 or 5 years old, I remember that, Dad. And then when I moved to Florida with my grandfather and my mom, or my grandparents and my mom, my grandfather used to cut our hair. And that would always be, like, great bonding time. And my grandfather would always have his Budweiser drinking it. You know, all-American beer, baby. Homegrown.
There we go. I love it.
He would always give us haircuts. And I strictly remember just those being, like, great bonding moments with my male figure, like, father figures growing up. And me and my cousin would try cutting our own hair. And, like, my cousin, Naj, is, like, good at cutting hair. And I remember he would, like, do designs, and we would do shape-ups, and he was, like, he was also one of those people who would rap. And, and just, like, putting together words. But he was creative, so he taught me to, like, get there and get my creative muscles flowing, or create my creative juices. And then I remember my first time in fifth grade, I walked into a barber shop, which was Champs Barber School. Or no, not Champs Barber School. It was Champs Barber Shop, located on King Street. No longer there, but he owns a couple barber schools. One just opened up in town.
Okay.
I think, like, last year, Champs Barber School on 8th Street.
Well, yeah, I've driven past that area.
So, crazy part is, him and my dad actually went to school together, and they ran track together.
No way.
The man was apparently ridiculously fast, and he was also good at boxing. But that's another story.
Yeah.
So I went into his barbershop, and I remember the smell of the clipper, the Cool Care, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And then I saw the camaraderie and, like, people sitting there joking and laughing in the barbershop. And I remember I had to wait probably, like, a solid hour for my haircut, but that's when I absolutely fell in love with cutting hair. And I was like, I want to do this. I was like, I don't know what it is, but I was like, I want to be here. Like, I want to be in this atmosphere, this type of flow. And I was like, I want to do this. So fast forward again. When my dad asked me, he was like, what do you want to do? I looked at him and I was like, I want to go to barbering school. Yeah. And he was like, what? And he's like, what do you mean you want to go to barbering school? He's like, you have all these schools here asking, like, wanting you there. And he's like, you literally have, like, an opportunity. And he's like, and you want to throw it all away. And
that probably hurt a little bit.
It did, because at the same time, like, I was like, I just want to, I honestly just want to cut hair. And as BJ would say, the shop owner that I work at, he said, I just want to make people silky smooth like that Zohan.
Yeah.
Yes. But like, he sat there and he was like, there's no way. He actually said at one point, he was like, nobody actually wants to do this job. And I was like, I raised my hand and I was like, I do. I was like, I did. And I was like, this is my dream. I was like, I'm literally living my dream right now. And I don't know. Like, all right. So then we go forward. And we arrive at Kutztown. I was ready to go to East Stroudsburg. I had a person that went to East Stroudsburg, and I was ready to risk it all for her. And then, you know, things fell through, and we didn't end up working out. It was my girlfriend from freshman year to senior year. Whatever, it's gone. So I had to pivot, and Kutztown, we had just got done doing our track meet at Kutztown. And I remember their coach and one of the guys that I thought was really fast, Corey Meshaw.
Shout out to Corey Meshaw.
Yeah, shout out to Mish.
Yeah, Lancaster boy.
Yep, yeah. He came up and he was like, yo, dude, he's like, where are you going to school next year? And I was like, I have no idea. And he was just like, you should come here. And Corey can be pretty persuasive.
Yeah.
And just the energy that he brought. So I was just like, yeah, I was like, I'm going to go to Kutztown. And I remember I had tried when I applied. I applied for the teaching program.
Okay.
But there's a caveat there. I did not get in. And my first time, I got rejected from Kutztown. And that being was, to get into the teaching program, you needed a 3.0 GPA.
Okay.
My dad made the mistake of telling me freshman year, if you're good enough, you don't need to worry about academics. You'll go anywhere you want. So in my head, freshman, sophomore year, I'm out here failing math class. Like, I didn't really care. I'm getting D's, and I'm like, whatever. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm D1. Any school's going to want me. And then come senior year, I got a 2.5, and I'm not getting in. And I'm like, all right. Oh, and then shit. I remember Coach Hoffman literally told me, he goes,
yeah, Coach Hoffman, yeah.
You're going to have to go in undecided. And I was like, all right, that's fine. I was like, I'll go in undecided. So I started off freshman year undecided, going into class. I knew I was one of the best guys on the team, and that's all I really had in mind. And to be honest, I wanted to be a professional athlete. There was no part of me that wanted to go to school. Once my dad told me, like, you got to go to school, there was no part of me that thought about actually, like, being there and actually being present to go to school. I was just like, all right, I'm only here to run. And that's it. And that's pretty much, like, what I did. I followed my regimen to a T. Like, even on Sundays when coach would be like, all right, yeah, you just guys got to go run, I'd run. There'd be other guys, like Matt Devlin.
Oh, yeah, I remember Devlin. Yeah, yeah.
Who would not run.
Yeah.
There'd be other guys, like, that we'd go pretty hard on Saturday, but they would not get up to run. And I'd go, and, like, I ran, and I was pretty committed freshman year. But to be honest, yeah, I never went to Kutztown expecting anything other than running. And I was like, whatever. I was like, my classes are my classes, and I'll just take them. That's really it.
Well, shout out to Corey, to Meshaw. Was he Hempfield?
Yeah.
Hempfield graduate, that's right. And he was, 100 meter or something like that? Or was he distance?
Corey was always a hurdle guy.
He's a hurdle guy.
He was always a hurdle. Yeah, gotcha. 110. He was good at 300s. And then once you get to college, you run that 400 hurdles. Yeah, that was one of my biggest motivating factors to go to Kutztown. And then my senior year, I actually found out I had a brother. I never knew about him. And I found out I had a brother, and he was actually at Kutztown. And it was Damian Ruiz. He played baseball there. I think they called him. His nickname was Donk.
Donk, okay.
But yeah, he was actually my first visit. So that after that first track meet that we had up there, I went up there, and I actually stayed with him later that night. And he actually showed me around Kutztown's campus. And he showed me. Me and him kicked it off right away. It was like genuine love. But he was one of my biggest motivating factors to go to Kutztown. Now, flip side on that, after we moved and got on campus, he actually ended up leaving to go to the Army. So I just had track at there, and I didn't have my older brother. Else you would have probably met him.
Right. See, I don't think I ever met him. Yeah, I don't think I ever met him. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, it was a real good track program there for sure. Yeah. You know, from coaching staff to fellow athletes. And I guess my thought of going there was I want to keep throwing. Because if you remember, like, for me, I think it was end of my sophomore year, beginning junior year, I really was getting the hang of shot put. Like,
you
really.
You were killing it.
Yeah. It just came out of nowhere, too.
Every time I was like, all right, Sully got a better mark. I'm like, all right, Sully gets a PR bar. Right. Sully gets another PR bar. I'm like, damn.
I'll do anything with PR bars, man. Hershey chocolate bars. Yeah, Hershey chocolate. I'm a big boy. I like that stuff. But yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's when it really. Yep. So I thought, okay, let's continue the career. Mm-hmm. You know, let's continue throwing. And then the reason I went for like graphic arts was because I thought, okay. You know, it makes sense, like the printing shop here, I'll get into that. But it was like, I remember, and I tell people this now, even clients, like it was drawing 101, right? This is the beginning class.
Yeah.
And I remember people are drawing like vases and vases and fruit and all this stuff. And I can't do it to save my life. Like, I couldn't do it to save my life. I passed that, barely passed that class. And I said, it's in for me. And I think, you know, it kind of, like you said, every athlete, male, female, doesn't matter. Like, you want to go to that next level. You want to see if you can push yourself, do it. And I think that just kind of hit me then. It's like, I'm not going to be an Olympian, you know? Like, I'm not that level. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So the family business, it just made sense to come back. I went to Hack and got an associate's degree. And looking back, I probably should have went that way. Associates in business, I probably should have went that way from the jump. But I didn't want to stop throwing, you know?
Yeah. Hell yeah. There's always that there's always that competitive part that's just like, all right, well, let me get out there and get
Let's see what I can do, you know?
Oh, yeah. I remember coming back from, you were never one to go out. So I remember I would come back like on weekends and stuff, and you'd be sitting there working on homework. Like, I was like, damn. I was like, Sully, he's still working on schoolwork. He's like,
Yeah.
But nah,
I don't know. I'm never a party guy, you know? It's not me, but that and then, like I said, working out, man. I remember working out all the time in the morning stuff. Yeah.
And we had freaking, what was it, Greg Sedator?
Yeah, for the throwers, What was the real big guy's name? You remember him?
Was it?
What the hell is his name?
I don't want to say Jeff.
Justin.
Justin.
I think it was Justin. He was like 6'6".
He was fucking massive. He was huge. He was a man.
I think he was like 32, and we're all just like, 20, 21 out
Justin
here, whatever.
Was a fucking man.
Yeah, he was a big dude.
Hell yeah.
And then
I remember those guys like being massive though. Like they were huge.
Jacked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Heck yeah. I always thought like you were like big. And once we got there, I was like, who are these guys?
Who are these giants? Yeah.
Well, I mean, like in our area, we don't really have like big people. Yeah. Like,
no,
that
not like
big.
That. No. It was like something from Space Jam, man. They're monsters. It's like, what do we got here?
I remember seeing Justin and I was like, dude, I was like, what the hell? You look like a lumberjack.
Yeah.
He had the big beard too to go with it.
Yeah. Those guys could throw. Yeah. But I mean it was a great year for me. You finished out?
Yeah.
Going there? Yeah.
Yeah. I finished out. So freshman year.
Did you kept doing track?
Yeah, I kept doing freshman year. So freshman year, that's when I did decide on my major, and it actually wasn't teaching. It was Spanish, and it was only because I got kicked out of my Spanish class.
Now what? You got to tell me this. What are you talking about?
So I got kicked out. It started off with me. I was in Spanish too. And in high school, I had gone through... we had a teacher named Mrs. Clark, and me and Mrs. Clark did not get along. So I knew Spanish, and the fact that she didn't like me was because I kept correcting her with things that we would do in Spanish. So, and how things were said. For those of you listening, I am half black, half Cuban. My mom's side comes from Cuba. So, I did correct my teacher in high school. So I ended up as an FU almost, or like a getting back at her. I tested out of Spanish 1, and then I ended up in Spanish 2.
Okay.
She was my teacher for Spanish 2. So I had to wait till Spanish 3, and then our senior year, I tried to take Spanish 4, but there was no Spanish 4. They told me I would have had to do independent study, and I could have gotten an AP college credit, but it just went through that I ended up having to do Spanish 3 over again. With Mr. Plichta, and I went through that. But then once I got up to Kutztown, and it came to choosing your classes, I didn't know anything. So I, once again, I didn't want to be there. So I was like, oh, what can I choose? I was like, let me just choose a Spanish class.
Yeah.
So I chose Spanish too. I was in that class with, I don't know if you remember him, but there was Matt Cannell. He was a jumper. And then,
yeah, I think I do remember what he looks like. What he, yeah.
Diddy Purcell Berry.
Yeah, yeah. He was kind of a short guy, but he was black quick, dude. Right? He's from black dude. Yeah, yeah.
I remember he was a pole vaulter. So yeah, I remember right. I was that's in right. there with Diddy that's and Matt. And I think Sedator might have been in that class mm-hmm. too, but I fell asleep. And he would be sitting there and they're like, Robinson, wake up. And I'm like, what? And they're like, wake up. Like, you're falling asleep. And I was like, whatever. So there was a couple times where I didn't even show up to class. I would just go ace a test. And I remember the one day Dr. Jesus Rodriguez looked at me and he said, get out. He looked at me and he was like, get out right now. And that was second semester freshman year.
Okay.
And I was like, what? And he literally screamed in front of the entire class and he said, you get out right now. And that was it. I left the class and I got an email and it was like, you need to come see me in my office hours. So I went during his office hours and he looked at me and he goes, you fall asleep in my class almost every day. And he's like, but yet you ace all my tests. He's like, you know Spanish, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, why didn't you take the placement test? And I was like, well, I didn't even know there was a placement test. Yeah, and he's like, well, I need you to take the... He's like, I need you to go down. I'm drawing a blank on the building, but he's like, I need you to go down there. He's like, take the placement test. And he's like, I need to see where you test. So I tested, and apparently the test shut me off after like 7 minutes. And I came back the next day, and I was like, hey, I was like, test shut off after 7 minutes. I was like, what happened? He's like, well, let me go see the results. He comes back, and he goes, this is the highest score we have ever seen this fast.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, he's like, you're not going to be in Spanish 1 through 4. And I was like, all right. And I was like, so what's that mean? And he's like, well, if you take Spanish writing, he goes, you'll get the credit for Spanish is 1 through 4. So what was it? 2 through 4.
Okay.
2, 3, and 4. So it was 3 credits per, no, it was 1 through 4. 3 credits per class. That was 12 credits.
12 credits, yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, all right, I get out of here sooner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he goes, 12 credits, and he was like, but you have to take Spanish writing. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just take it this semester. And he's like, no. He's like, we passed the add drop period.
Oh.
And I was like, all right, so what happens with the 12 credits? And he's like, you have to take it next semester, like next fall. And I was like, all right, I'll just take that. And he goes, there's a caveat. And I was like, well, what's a caveat? He goes, you either have to have Spanish as a major or a minor. And he's like, in order to get these 12 credits. So at that time, undecided, I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. I was like, I can't get into the education program because I don't have a 3.0 yet. And right. I was just like, whatever. So I declared Spanish as a major. And that's what it ended up being. Like, I declared Spanish as a major. And I ended up going through the next 4 years there. As a Spanish major and running track, and that was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. There's no other way I could put that. That was probably the most fun. Only because I knew Spanish already, and I never considered myself, like, a genius or anything, but my grandparents, with my upbringing, they taught me how to speak Spanish properly. And my dad didn't tolerate any type of slang. Like, if you notice, whenever I speak, I guess you couldn't honestly tell if I was black or white, I guess, if you wanted to categorize it. But, yeah, my dad didn't really tolerate any of that. So it was almost like a coast. It was almost like a coast, and I could really focus in on track and kind of coast by all my classes. They weren't really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think college was hard, but then again, I chose an easy major, or at least easy for me. For most people, it would have probably been hard, but not for me. So to answer your question, yes, I did finish that out.
Nice, man. That's awesome. And then, of course, on the side then,
mm-hmm.
you kind of had your side hustle. You're cutting hair.
Oh, yeah.
All
oh,
the time.
Yeah. Mike's Clean Cuts.
Mike's Clean Cuts.
So shout out to Mr. Miller for that one.
Wait, Mr. Miller at Cedar Crest?
Yeah, Cedar Crest High School, baby.
No way. Okay, tell
Mr.
me.
Mr. Miller and VizCom. When we had to make our business cards and, like, we started printing stuff, a lot of people were just printing out business cards, just print them.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, all right, yeah. I was like, I got Mike's Clean Cuts. And I had a razor blade, old-fashioned razor blade on there, Mike's Clean Cuts, no phone number, anything. And it just said, we'll make dorm calls. And I remember I made those about 3 weeks before school was over and we were going for the summer. And I will never forget. I said, we'll make dorm calls. And we were allowed to print as much as we wanted. So I printed off 500 business cards that year. Dang. They were white, simple. I think they had cursive writing on them, but I handed those out on campus. I ended up cutting a bunch of guys on the basketball team.
Okay.
And it helped that we lived in Dietrich.
Yeah,
where all the athletes, were. Yeah. So I had a bunch of those guys, and then obviously they would see each other, and they'd be like, "Yo, like he's cutting hair in the bathroom."
This freshman.
So it kind of snowballed into that, but yeah, cutting hair from freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year, it pretty much honestly became. I always tell people I was in school to pretty much I was running track and cutting hair. That was it.
Yeah.
School
the academics parts on the side. Dude.
The academics was the side hustle. That was the real side hustle.
I love it.
The academic portion. But, yeah. I mean, you know, I still maintain like 2.8. I think that's when we needed a 2.75 to get out of study hall.
I remember that study hall. Yeah. God, I'm trying to remember if I made it out of there. Because you could get out in the first semester.
Yeah, if you did. Man, so I remember. I got out. It was a 2.7. It was a 2.7 or 2.75. Whatever it was, yeah. I got it exactly. And I was like, no more study hall.
Get the hell out of here.
We're good. But I remember I got it right there on the dot. But yeah, it was a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a sip break.
Yes, sir.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. So to pick back up, you know, after Kutztown, obviously you had the side hustle going on of cutting hair in the dorms and things like that. When did it finally click and you realize, like, obviously you always knew in the back of your mind, right, you want to cut hair, but when did it click and you're like, this is what my career is going to be, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
2 years ago.
Yeah? Yeah, 2 years ago. Stay tuned for part two next week. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today.